And let us turn to the epistle to the Ephesians. He said, you know what an epistle is? An epistle is an apostle's wife. We know different than that in part of the time, isn't that right? Two colored fellows met, the one said to the other, be you in the Lord's army? Yes, I be in the Lord's army, I be a Baptist. Oh, you not be in the Lord's army at all, you be in the Lord's navy. Right over then, please, Ephesians chapter 1, and reading verse number 6. Ephesians 1, verse number 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom he also trusted, after he heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that he believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, as I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. The Lord had his blessing to that reading from his word. I'd like you to read on to the end of the chapter, but not just now. We've been looking these evenings at the question, what is a Christian? We found the Christian is a child of God. This morning we're looking at the Christian as an heir of God. We're breaking each letter up into the initial letters. A Christian child, remember, care, a home, instruction, love, and discipline. This morning we looked at the Christian as an heir. We notice the inheritance that we're heir to is heavenly, it is holy, it is high. It is an eternal inheritance. It is an incorruptible inheritance, undefiled and faded not away. We notice our inheritance is both death-proof, is incorruptible. It is dust-proof. It's undefiled. And it is, what's the last one now? Decay-proof. It fadeth not away. You got these three D's, didn't you? Death-proof, dust-proof, and decay-proof. And then the last one, it is a royal inheritance. It is a rich inheritance. It's a rewarding inheritance. Now that is the heir. We know that a little of what we've been brought into as children of God. Tonight we're taking the word redeemed. A Christian is one who has been redeemed. Aren't you glad tonight you know the joy of this wonderful redemption? This little word, my friend, really means to be set free at a price. Set free at a price. Argozo just simply means pay price paid in the market. Ex agorazo means price paid and brought out of the market. Literal means, and I love it with all my heart, set free. Look. Now we're going to look tonight at this wonderful expression, redeemed. In doing so, we're going to give you again each a letter, a word. And the first word is ransom. The capital R, a ransom. Now the ransom price had to be paid. We sometimes think, I am redeemed, but not with silver. I am bought, but not with gold. Now, keeping that before you, turning your Bible, will you, to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now, these are verses I might well repeat to you that I think will become more precious if you read them for yourself. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Notice, please, verse number 4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth? Now, that is the divine will of God. All men might be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Verse number 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Even verse number 4, we have the divine will. Now, here in verse number 5, we got the divine work. And now notice what it says in verse number 6. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due season? And there you got the divine witness. The divine will, the divine work, and the divine witness. Now, I want to encircle your thoughts, if I may, around verse number 5. There is one God. Now, let that sink in for one moment. Let it grip your heart. There is one God. There is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. This one who is God of very God became man, perfect man, that he might be the mediator between God and man. God, when the fullness of time was come, sent forth his Son that he might redeem. And notice verse 6. Who gave himself as a ransom? Beloved, we sometimes think there was none other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Oh, what a ransom. It says in Matthew chapter 20, Lord Jesus said, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give my life a ransom. Now that was his great purpose in coming into the scene. We were all sold under sin, all that kept about the evil one at his will, and all we needed to be set free. The ransom price had to be paid. And how was that ransom price going to be paid? When God looked round among the human beings, he could not find one without sin. In fact, it says in the Psalm, no man can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for his soul. Did you get that? Nor give to God a ransom for his soul. The first woman in America to go to the electric chair was a woman found guilty of child murder. When certain male prisoners heard she was going to the chair, they volunteered to die in her place. When the news came before the authorities that they were willing to die in this woman's place, they did not take long to discard it with these words. One guilty person cannot die in the place of another guilty person. And that woman went to the chair and paid the full penalty of her sin by herself. Now, did you get the decision? One guilty person cannot die in the place of another guilty person. Beloved, we're all guilty. You're guilty, I'm guilty. You cannot die for me, I cannot die for you. We all stand guilty before our holy God as the descendants of the first man, Adam. But thank God there's a message from the throne tonight. It comes right down into the part of the palms. And it's going to all the whole wide world over. What is that message? A Christ, holy God, who can by no means clear the guilty, before whose very eyes the very heavens are not pure. It says, deliver that soul from going to the pit. I have found a ransom. Isn't that wonderful? I have found a ransom. Who is the ransom? The darling of his own heart, his own beloved son. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. May I repeat again Galatians 4:4? When the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, that he might redeem. Let me ask you very lovingly, have you ever thanked God for the ransom price? Have you ever thanked God, my friend, for the gift of his own darling son? If not, there's no better opportunity than tonight for you to thank him for redemption through the precious blood of his beloved son. Say you remember in 1 Peter 1:8, we are redeemed. Not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. May I underscore something for you here? Way back in the Old Testament, you'll need of blood. The blood of the bullock, the blood of the lamb. But the only time you ever read of precious blood is in reference to the blood of our adorable Lord Jesus Christ. And saying that blood is precious in the eyes of God the Father. It is precious in all heaven tonight. And that blood is precious to each and every believer here in this auditorium this evening. Your heart with my heart would sing out, precious, precious blood of Jesus, shed on Calvary, shed for rebels, shed for sinners. Yes, hallelujah, shed for me. And so he gave himself as a ransom that he might redeemed. We come to the next letter now, and the letter is E. The ransom price has been paid in the person of God's beloved Son, whose precious, rich, royal blood was poured out. And please remember that blood was first poured out for God's satisfaction and glory. God's throne is vindicated, all his righteous requirements have been fully met. The way back to God's presence stands open wide, so none need perish. The ransom has been paid. My friend, is this real to you tonight? Now come to letter E. The word is emancipation. Redemption always reminds me of emancipation. And now turn with me to Romans 6. Romans 6:22. Now these are very well known words. And I think you ought to see those also for yourself. Romans 6:22. I like these words with all my heart. But now being made free from sin and become the servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. The word, my friend, set free reminds us that we have been emancipated. We have been liberated. We are once in bondage to sin and to Satan and to filth, and now liberated. We're free men and we're free women on the merit and the value and the efficacy of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen from me, but now being made free. Aren't you glad about this? The same word is connected with justification. Way back yonder in Edinburgh, if a man was found guilty of murder and he was hanged, you go up, my friend, toward the castle there, And you find outside the jail gate, a notice on the gate saying, John Brown was justified this morning at 8 o'clock. He had fulfilled the law by dying. Now thank God tonight we are justified, we are set free, because another died in your place and in my place. And he paid the ransom price. He satisfied the claims of the Holy God. The law has been broken, but he met every requirement of that broken law. And tonight, the moment we believe on the merit of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus, in God's reckoning only are we justified, standing with him as if I had never sinned at all. But thank God I am emancipated. I am liberated. I'm free. Are you able to sing tonight from your heart? My chains are snapped, the bonds of sin are broken, and I am free. Oh, let the triumph of his grace be spoken, who died for me. And are you, my friend, still bound? Are you still bound? Are you still in chain, my friend, still in slavery? There's no need for that tonight, my friend. The ransom price has been paid. God's righteous requirements have been fully met. All he wants you to do, he wants you to accept God's record concerning his Son. I know him as your Lord and Savior. Enter into the good of his redemption tonight, and you too will know the liberating power. When I was a youngster back in Scotland, so many years ago, I remember doing a dialogue while in Sunday school. I was the unbeliever, my friend the Christian. The title of the dialogue was Little Sins That Bind. I came onto the platform eating an apple. He came onto the other side and said, hello, where did you get the apple? Oh, I said, I took it from my mother's fruit dish. Does she know? Oh, no, she doesn't know. Well, he said, you're stolen the apple. Not me. I am stolen the apple. What belongs to mother belongs to me. But he proved to me I stolen the apple. And I threw my hands by my side when he put a piece of cord around me. So now set yourself free. Little effort, the cord broke. Next time he went around it half a dozen times, little more effort, the cord broke. Next time he wound that cord around me till I couldn't move. I struggled one way and I struggled the other way, but I could not set myself free. So he came with a pair of scissors and he cut the cord and he set me free. Little sins that bind. And that little sin that you played with for such a long time, tonight got you in a vice-like grip, hasn't it? Oh, you thought you could play with it. You thought you could give it up at any old moment. Better night has got you. And the more you struggle, the more you cry, the tighter the chains are becoming. And tonight you've come to recognize you've got to give up the fight. And you've got to recognize this glorious truth. It takes a power outside of yourself to set you free. Listen to the grand old hymn. He breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood avails for me. Yes, thank God tonight the ransom has been given. And this, my friends, will bring emancipation, liberty, glorious freedom to the one who will believe on the Lord Jesus and accept him as a ransom. Oh, I trust you'll be free tonight to do this. There was a man some time ago. This man had got a little reptile, a little ball constrictor as a baby. And you know, he trained that thing up. He trained it, began to grow and grow and grow. It was his little toy, his little frame, his thing, and it was his little pet, and he fed it, and he instructed it, and he trained it. And the time came to go all around the country and the big playhouses, and this thing used to come thrilling across the stage, coil itself round his body, and all the people used to applaud him from all over the place. Wonderful performance he used to put on. But this night, before the crowded house, this thing came thrilling across the stage and coiled itself round him as in other times. But as the eyes of that boa constrictor came face to face with that dear man, he saw something in those eyes he'd never seen before, and he knew then his playmate had become his master, had become his master. And he yelled out,
And Brother Lucas started crushing the desk. He fell to the floor. The people roared from all over the building, thought it was part of the act. But someone came in and shot the boa constrictor. The thing that had been his flame, it had become his master. And that thing you've been playing with for a long time, man, lady, has got you, hasn't it? And has got a grip of you. What are you going to do about it? You're going to look away from yourself. And listen to that lovely man, the man Christ Jesus, who is bound upon that cross for you, you might be set free. He died that you might live. He wants you tonight to accept him as your Lord. As your Savior, will you? Deep. I find now the man, the woman, the young person redeemed. The ransom has been given. Emancipation can be enjoined. But then the word is delivered. I delivered. And remember, delivered at a great price. I love this with all my heart. You know, here you find the slave is there in the market. The ransom price has been paid. But he can still stay there in the market. The price has been paid. But then the other word is a beautiful word. It is made set free at a price. And that's the word you hear now. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse number 10, a threefold deliverance. He has delivered, doth deliver, and will even yet deliver. We got a wonderful salvation, you know. We got a wonderful deliverance. Not only are we delivered from sin's penalty, we are being delivered from sin's power, and one day we'll be delivered altogether from sin's presence. Redeemed at a price. Set free at a price. And the word really means this, and I want to get it. And can never be put up for sale again. There's no further sale where the man, the price that he paid for, has been set free. You're set free, never to be sold again. Now, isn't it a lovely thought? This is what redemption means, my friend. T. Ernest Wilson, on your hand here, he and I were ministering at a conference some time ago, and I asked him about the authenticity of a story that I've used over and over again concerning Mr. Wilson. Way there in Angola, during a large conference, he saw way near the back of the crowd what he thought was a slave trader and a slave. He went on his way to the back of the crowd during interval, and true enough, there was a slave trader and a slave, a big tall man, full of timidity and fear, standing there full of emotion. And Mr. Wilson offered the price for the slave. The price was agreed upon, and money was paid over. Mr. Wilson took the slave back to a mission compound, and after some time, he said to the slave at the conference all over, "Say, now look, I bought you at a great price. I bought you, you belong to me. I bought you to set you free. Now I'm giving you your liberty. No one else can have you. You're my property. You can go back to the jungle, work amongst your people there. You're a free man. I freed you at a great price. Or you can stay with us here on the mission compound." Well, you know, what did the man do? He prostrated himself before Mr. Wolf and said, "Martha, out of love, I'll serve you forever. Martha, out of love, I'll serve you forever." Oh, dear child of God, we too have been set free and liberated at a great price, that we might be men and women at the Lord's disposal. He bought us to possess us. Will you tonight come with me and prostrate yourself before him as a believer? And own him as your Lord, and from your heart saying, "O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thine atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master,
My heart shall be thy crown. My life I give, and forth live. O Christ, for thee alone. Beloved, this is just as definite and just as deliberate as the moment you receive Christ as your Savior. Is that moment when you have drawn Him by the Spirit as Lord of every compartment and department of your life. This is just as definite and just as deliberate as the moment you said, Lord Jesus, I own Thee as my Lord and Savior, come into my heart. And now you, my friend, present your whole life to Him, spirit and soul and body. You hear the words of the Apostle in Romans 12, 1 saying, because you've been set free through Romans chapter 6. And my friend, you've been set free through Romans chapter 8. Because the conqueror, the captive of Romans 7 has become a conqueror in Romans 8. And you become, my friend, a conqueror through Romans 6, 11. Romans 6, 11 says, likewise, reckoning yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ the Lord. And as those that are alive unto God, we come and present our body to Him a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable, our intelligent, our logical service. It is our spiritual worship. And be not conformed to this world. Be transformed, transfigured, changed by the renewing of your mind. You may know what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Oh, how many there are who are stumbling round like a square peg in a round hole, trying to find God's blueprint for the life, trying to find God's plan, God's will for them. And friends, you'll never find it till you're fully surrendered to the authority of Jesus Christ. Romans 12:1 leads to Romans 12:2, and you'll never find God's will acceptable in your life until you're fully surrendered to His authority. Only God give us grace to recognize this. Oh, friend, dear child of God, I want us all tonight to enter in to the good of our redemption. Thank God tonight we've been set free from sin's penalty. Adam's sin will never again be raised where we're concerned. Never will. We as a child of Adam, our history finished at the cross 2,000 years ago. And God sees no longer in Adam. Thank God for that tonight. He sees us in His beloved Son, holy without blame before Him in love. And the Christ who died delivered me from sin's penalty now lives by His Spirit in me to deliver me from sin's power every moment of every day. And no wonder we sing, sin shall not have dominion over you. Oh, what a glorious message, and it's true. Then, Father, one day He's coming, He's going to deliver us all together from sin's presence and from sin's sorrow. Oh, let us come tonight as His beloved redeemed ones and prostrate ourselves before Him in gratitude, in thanksgiving, and from our hearts pray. See from His head, His hands, His feet, sorrow and love still mingle down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose the richer crown? Where the whole realm of nature mine, that will not be far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, shall have my heart, my life, my all. Take my love, O Lord, I pour at Thy feet its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever of made all for Thee. Thy great man, late C.T. Studd, the founder and the first missionary of the Way, the worldwide evangelistic crusade. Young man, brilliant, graduate from Cambridge University, another subject, another student. That dear man gave over $1.5 million turning away to the Lord's interest. He said these words, when I saw redemption meant buying back, that I have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, I was no longer my own. He said it was not difficult for me
to hand over my whole life to Him, spirit and soul and body. It was just ordinary, common, decent honesty to do such a thing. The Bible says, will a man rob God? Dear child of God, yes, my friend, you're saved by His master's grace. You're cleansed by His precious blood. If you have not ever handed over your life to Him, you're robbing Him tonight. You're robbing Him. He wants you. He wants me. Oh, may we fall before Him tonight, and in humility, and in all sincerity, with a heart filled with worship and adoration, cry, oh, precious Lord Jesus, how lovely Thou art. Come and abiding, rule in my heart. Break every fetter. Thy face let me see. Then Thou shalt ever be precious to me. Oh, He's a lovely Lord. Friend, do you know Him? Do you know Him? He. It means elevated. Thank God tonight, the one redeemed at the ransom price, who has been emancipated, who has been delivered, is now elevated. Now I thank God tonight for this redemption. For redemption, my friend, is an elevation. The gospel is something that lifts up. Thank God He brought us up out of a horrible pit, out of the mighty clay. He placed our feet upon a rock. The rock cried Jesus. He established our bearings. He put a new song into our mouth. Many shall see it and fear. And they shall trust in the Lord. Thank God tonight we've been brought up. Brought up. Thank God for redemption, liberty, and lifts. That's what the gospel does, my friend, tonight. Do you know this emancipating, elevating power in your life? Now, you'll notice in our scripture reading tonight, now I'm going to finish on this letter E. Now I'm going to continue tomorrow morning and finish this subject. A Christian is one who redeemed. Now, think of the letter E, elevation. Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 6 says, we have been, chapter 1, verse 6 says, we have been accepted in the Beloved. We have been raised up together and made to sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. We are once, my friend, in the dunghill, having lifted up, my friend, once the offscouring of the world, and now the princes and princesses of God. We are the children of God. We are Christians with Christ one. We're the anointed ones without a sufficiency of heaven, and there's nobody like us. There's nobody like us. Let something of the thrill of it grip your soul tonight, because tonight you're elevated. You're lifted up, not in yourself. You're lifted up in Him. You're the adorable Lord Jesus. Now get the picture. Verse number 19 of Ephesians chapter 1 says, God, by the exceeding greatness of His power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead, and placed Him far above all principality and power, might and dominion, named in His name, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, put all things under His feet, given Him to the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him, that filleth all and in all. Now come with me as I go back over these breathtaking, awe-inspiring words. Can you hear the great warrior praying? God, by the exceeding greatness, not by the greatness of, but by the exceeding greatness of His power, which He wrought in Christ, when raised Him from the dead, and all heaven is standing as a great God of honor. All the angelic host, the archangel, the cherubim, the seraphim, are all standing there as a great God of honor. But He, having been raised from the dead, still bearing the marks of Calvary's passion in His lovely hands and feet, still bearing the marks of the thorn crown, that steel ribbon sign, can you see Him, my friend, raised? And can you see Him soaring up, 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 riding through the pearly gate, right up to the great God of honor, Father of all the angelic host,
far above all principality and power, might and dominion. God placed His Son far beyond all distinction of power, beyond all description, every name that is named, not only in this world, also in that which is to come. He placed Him far above all dispensation of power. Did you get those three D's? Beyond all distinction, beyond all description, and beyond all dispensation, God placed His Son far above all. His throne right up that rainbow and circle throne. The heaven's crown of thorns is crowned with glory now. A royal diadem adorns the mighty victor's brow. And tonight I cry, and you join me, friends, from your heart. Look, ye saints, the sun is glorious. See the man of sorrows now. From the fight, return victorious. Every knee your angel bow. Crown him. Crown become the mighty victor's brow. Far above all. Far above all. Jesus the crucified is exalted far above all. Kingdoms may rise. Kingdoms may fall. Jesus the crucified is exalted far above all. Your heart with my heart bow before Him as I think, my friend, of His liberating power. A bodily resurrection from out among the dead, not a mere spirit of phantom, but a bodily resurrection. He appeared to His own. They handled Him. He ate with them. He drank with them. And it's an elevating power. God raised Him far above all. And then it's a subjugating power. For God has placed all things under His feet. Aren't you glad about that? God has placed all things under His feet and given Him to be head over all things of the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all and it all. Friends, I missed out one phrase in my quotation. And you know something, I did it purposely. I did it purposely. What is that phrase? Ephesians 1:19 says, God, by extreme greatness of His power, here it is, to us who believe. That's it. Friend, the very same power that raised Him from the dead and placed Him far above all is the very power that came into your life and into my life the very moment we were born again. And all this power is at your disposal and mine. Aren't you glad you're a child of God? Aren't you glad you're a Christian? Amen? Friend, to recognize what you've been brought into as a child of God and all the power of the risen Lord, because He now by His Spirit lives in you. Yet we go around like spiritual paupers. We can be spiritual multimillionaires. We go around like spiritual weaklings, bemoaning our impotence, our lack of power in prayer, in Bible study, and effective witnessing. And all this power is at our disposal. All the power, my friend, the electricity surging through, those wires are still there, but there was no light until the light was switched on. And friend, all the power of the risen Lord is at our disposal, for the switch must be switched on, and the switch is faith. And the switch is faith. Two illustrations flood through my mind. One, you take your boy out to the airport. Your boy sees all those people going into that jet. Says to your daddy, the school teacher taught us that gravitation brings everything to the ground. And I counted 175 people going into that jet, daddy. There's seven in the crew. I saw the boxes, the cases, and cargo we put onto that great jet, daddy. Now look at it. See how it's rising higher and higher and higher. It's soaring away up there, daddy. In the law of gravity brings everything to the ground. How is that plane rising so high, daddy? Oh, says the father with a great big smile. Yes, it's true, my boy. The law of gravity brings everything to the ground. But he says there's another law at work now. It's called the law of aeronautics. And as long as they obey that new law, that new principle, that plane's going to rise higher and higher and higher. But
should it disobey the new principle, the old law will take over and will be the downward pull. What's the lesson? Romans 8, verse number 2. The law, Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, has set me free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death, my old Adamic nature, which still indwells me, and will be with me to the early end of the journey. Got the downward pull, make a causing carnality, minding things of flesh, the things of the earth. But thank God, the moment you receive Jesus Christ in your heart, you receive a new principle. It's the law of sin and life in Christ Jesus, which is more powerful than the law of sin and death. What does Paul say? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free. I like that word, don't you? Has set me free from the law of sin and death. And notice this, the law of sin and death can't operate as long as I'm obeying the new principle. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. So for you tonight with me, come and pray. With all your heart, reign over me, Lord Jesus. Reign over all within. Make me a loyal subject to thee in everything. Here's my second illustration of this I enclose. I was in Detroit during the coronation of our beautiful young queen. I think we've got enough Canadians here tonight, we can truthfully say that. But I was staying with friends in Dearborn. I asked him if I may have a radio into my bedroom, at least one of the radios. They began poking fun at me for being so patriotic. So now look, all I want is your radio. I got the radio into my bedroom at 6 o'clock in the morning. I switched it on, and to my great joy, I heard a deep Oxford trained voice of the Archbishop of Canterbury repeating John 3:16. For God so loved the world to give his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have eternal life. I sat there in that bedroom. My mind was transported to London, England. I saw the Royal Post coming up from Buckingham Palace. I saw it going along the mall. I saw in my mind's eye all the thousands upon thousands of people lining the mall. I could hear all the blowing of the trumpets, all the fanfare, all the glitter, all the glamour, all the wonderful pageantry. I could think of that wonderful precision. Not a horse's hoof out of place, not an arm or leg swing of any airman, sailor or soldier, war or rain. Everything, my friend, synchronizing. And I saw the whole procession going round the Trafalgar Square, past St. James, right on to Westminster Abbey. As I stood there in that bedroom, I saw that royal regal figure leaving the royal coach, going through the doors of that great historical building, walking in that long, wide, cold aisle. The cathedral's packed with dignitaries and celebrities from all over the world. Every eye is focused upon that young girl as she moved forward toward the high altar. And a moment came, a moment I will never forget in all my life, when I heard the voice of the Archbishop saying, as he addressed the peers, "Gentlemen, I present to you Her Royal Highness Elizabeth. Are you now ready to crown the Queen?" And with one heart, and with one voice, I heard the cry, "We are now ready! Crown the Queen!" I was transported to heaven, tears running unashamedly down my face. Now I thought of a moment still future, when all the redeemed of all ages will be gathered around the Lamb in yonder glory, and beloved all redeemed by His precious blood will gaze upon Him still bearing the mouth of Calvary's passion, and with one heart and with one voice we shall call, "Bring
for the royal diadem, and crown him Lord of all. Worthy, O Lamb of God, art thou, that every knee to thee should bow. O beloved, in the quiet hush and the quiet moment of this gathering, the Holy Spirit is here present. He presents the Lord Jesus to you in all his solitary dignity, with all the marks of his lovely passion upon Calvary's cruel cross. He says to you and he says to me, are you now ready, redeemed by precious blood, to enthrone him Lord of all? He's waiting for your answer as a Christian. What is your answer? Shall we pray? There were men in silence, and in that moment, as that vision still filled your heart, hear the Spirit saying, are you now ready? Then if you really mean it with all sincerity, then pray. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold all my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit all shall see Christ only, always living in me. In full and glad surrender, I give myself to thee, thine utterly and only, and evermore to be. O God, our God, thou holy God, thou knowest each heart bowed before thee, those hearts redeemed by precious blood, those hearts that know something of the efficacy and the cleansing of that same blood, grant each heart tonight may know Christ reigning Lord supreme, without a rival, Lord over our time, our talent, our treasure, Lord over our spirit, our soul, our body, Lord over all, blessed forever. We offer our thanks, commend the gathering to thee, in the fragrant name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing together the closing hymn number 3. I thought it was 949, thinking I might get to the end of my subject. Hymn number 3, and tomorrow morning we'll continue there with the next letter E, and go on. And tomorrow night I want to speak on the Christian as an influence. It's a very interesting subject, and I know it will be a blessing to you. You can't sing this sitting down. We're going to sing number 3, oh, hail the power of Jesus' name, that angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem, and crown him Lord of all. Hymn number 3, let us rise while we sing.